start off standing and singing Thanksgiving songs. We just talk about the fact that we're to come before Him with joyful songs. And so we turn first to Psalm 387. We gather together, standing as we sing. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Psalms. We're at Psalm 33. And here we're emphasizing thankfulness or gratitude for God's everyday, what we might call everyday providence. Rejoice, O Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsels of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people to no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. And a mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Here we see in this psalm that God is full of splendor and majesty. He's transcendent and omnipotent. We find that testified to throughout the scripture.
At the same time, God is the God of everyday beauty. And of what some might be some of what might consider smaller gifts and everyday providential grace. From the breath that we draw, to the homes that we live in, to the ability to see the beauty in what God has created, these are the everyday and simple providential graces of God. God, though the sovereign of the cosmos and history, takes an interest in what we might call simple things and little people like me, little people like you. God knows and has determined each moment for each person here. In his, what we're calling everyday providence, before eternity began, he assigned the date of your birth and who your parents would be and who your grandparents would be. Generations receding into the mist. In God's everyday providence, he appointed it all. And he appointed in eternity who your spouse would be and the children and the grandchildren you would have. In eternity, he anointed and ordained who would be sitting around your Thanksgiving table tomorrow in what we're calling his everyday providences. And somehow those everyday things, when we start reflecting upon them, don't seem so everyday. To understand that God has ordained it all and that he loves us for the sake of Christ and all that he's ordained in our lives is good. And so we have reason, because of these everyday, what we're calling these everyday providences, we have reason to do what? To give thanks. To have hearts that are full, that the lines, as the psalmist says, have fallen in pleasant places. To be overwhelmed with God's kindness and his goodness and his in these everyday providences. And we do, all of us here, we have it We have it so good. The benefits that God has heaped upon us, his munificence towards us, is overwhelming. That last song that we sang, there was a line that says, deliver your congregation from what? Did you capture it? Did you know what you sang? Deliver your congregation from tribulation. There was a reason that the writers of that song penned it that way. It's a Netherlands song. It's where its origin is. And the Dutch Protestants forever had problems with persecution from the Spanish Catholics. And so we can understand why the songwriter would write, deliver your congregation from tribulation. And yet in the whole context of that song, there's a sense of thanksgiving for God's goodness to his people. And we look in the horizon and perhaps we see the possibility of tribulation ahead, but we certainly aren't living in it now. And God is good in these everyday providences, and so we should be thankful. God sees his people. He knows his people. He provides for his people. And as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches, we can trust God to provide, and here Lee could quote it from memory. We can trust God to provide whatever we need for body and soul. And in everyday providences, we see the goodness of God, and so our hearts can be full of gratitude and thanksgiving. Let us pray. For the beauty of the earth and for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our hearts over and around us lies, Christ our Lord, to thee we raise this our prayer of grateful praise. For the everyday providences of rain and harvest, for the seasons, for the wildlife, for the pets in our home, for the beauty of the changing leaves, for daily provisions such as careers and clothing and shelter and abundant food. Lord, for what we're calling these everyday providences, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn to our psalters again. Our hymn books, I should say, but this time the psalters. Page 195, and tell you what, I'll let you sit for the first one, but we'll stand for the second one, all right? Page 195, all people on earth do dwell. Page 195. Now let us stand considering our psalters there, page 310, singing praises to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. may be seated. Here we're emphasizing on gratitude or thanksgiving for all of our moments, the wonders of each hour. Emphasis is especially on the idea of those incredible events that God drops into all of our lives and the need to be thankful for those. Now, there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all the people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. We see here that Mary had treasured up all these things, the scripture says, and pondered them in her heart. And of course, none of us are ever going to be the recipients of special revelation as Mary was, but all of us have events that God brings into our life at one time or another that seem to be supercharged, as it were. And so we ask ourselves, have you ever had the insight or event that was so profound, so meaningful, so convicting that you just wanted to record it so it would never be forgotten in any detail? Did you want to treasure it and ponder it in your heart? For those kind of events that are not required but often do drop into the lives of all God's people, we should be thankful. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had one impactful event after another in her life, from the angel's visit to the angel's message that she was carrying the Son of the Most High, to the birth of that child and the gathering of the shepherds who showed up. Scripture teaches that she pondered these events in her heart. She examined them. She thought upon them. She turned them over every which way in her mind as to be influenced by them and to drink them in. This led, no doubt, to a profound sense of humility before God, and doubtless it led to thankfulness and gratitude. All of us have seen God's providence more clearly at other times than what we see daily. Perhaps there was an event where you were short of money at the end of the month and God provided what we used to call in seminary a mailbox moment. All of a sudden in your mailbox there turned up almost the exact amount of money you needed to pay that bill that you didn't have the money for. All of us have seen these kinds of providential moments. God led us to a certain place, caused us to have a conversation with a certain person, guided us in a certain direction so that we saw God's hand more clearly perhaps at that particular time and that particular event than we had seen it perhaps at other times. And though we wouldn't call that direct revelation, special revelation such as Mary received, we still can be a people who are thankful that God shows himself in unique ways in our lives at different times. And for those times, we can be thankful. And so, here we have a gathering of God's people, and God deals with each one of us differently individually. And each of us can look back and recall those specific, might we call them pivotal points in our lives where God came down and almost put a flashing neon sign in front of us. And looking back on those times, we can see God's providence and so be what? Thankful. Constantly reminded of the stories that Jane's folks used to tell about this kind of providence. Showing up in Maine, not knowing barely a soul to open a closed church, not having the money to feed themselves, and all of a sudden, "Hi, we're from down the road and we wanted to bring you some eggs. Never did eggs taste so good, they used to sell, used to say. And here I wasn't even involved in that. And I could hear that story and I could envision it. And what do I see? I see God's providence. And I, myself, though I wasn't in the middle of that, am what? Thankful. And so we need to be thankful for God's special moments, let's call them, his unique providences towards us. The Puritans called them God's remarkable providences. We need to be thankful not only for the everyday providences, but those that are kind to come to us in a billboard lit up sign saying, I'm here. And for that, we can be thankful. Let's pray. For the wonder of each hour of the day and night, Christ the Lord, to you we raise our hymn of grateful praise. We thank you for the truth you've brought into our lives over the past year. Some of these truths has brought us joy. Some of these truths have opened our eyes to a new and better way of thinking. Some of these truths have been hard, but through them we have come to understand you better. We have learned your truth, and by it we have grown in Christ. These truths have quietly nurtured us. They have been to us our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for all these moments, for being present with us, to speaking to us through your word, for bringing into our lives these remarkable providence, and providing for each day, not only in our physical needs, but also for our growth in knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's consider our psalters again, standing as we sing, page 311. We praise thee, O God, page 311 in our blue psalters. Be seated. Considering Ephesians 1:15 through 23. Oh, thank you. That's why you're sitting there. Okay. That's good. Page 314. We cannot fail to sing that. Standing as we sing. Oh, that everybody would be energized like that. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. And that was rousing, so it's a good thing we did sing it. From Ephesians, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that one age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here Paul says explicitly that he gives thanks for these Ephesians believers. And of course, the person that he gives thanks to is not to them, but to God. I mean, I'm sure he has much gratitude for the blessing that they were to him, but his thanks is primarily vertical. He's thankful that God has called them, has given them an interest in Christ, and has placed that baby congregation there in the middle of pagandom in Ephesus. And so we emphasize here gratitude for our kith. And kith, of course, was another word that was used for friends. You heard the phrase kith and kin, right? Friends and family is what that idea is communicating. And we have gratitude for our kith and kin, just as Paul had gratitude for these Ephesian believers. Thanksgiving, perhaps, is, along with Christmas, the holiday which is most associated with family. It's family that we have typically gathered around our tables. It's family feasts and gathering that we'll be involved in. It's laughter and maybe even a little, yes, family sniping. I know that's probably not true at your place, but that's the way families roll. All right? And so we're thankful. We have gratitude. We have gratitude to God for our families. It's not accidental, the families that God has placed us in, as I mentioned earlier. Nearly every one of Paul's letters expresses thanksgiving, and always near the beginning. And that's a good pattern for us. Our life should be characterized by thanksgiving. And it should be characterized by thanksgiving for our kith and kin. Beginning our meals and meetings and weeks in worship with thanksgiving makes sense. Thankful to God for those that are around us. All that we are and all that we have and all that we are able to do begins with God, the creator and sustainer of all things. Paul takes note of the Ephesians' faith and he thanks God for them and for what he sees happening. Let us also notice the gifts of those around us and let us thank God for them. Too often it's the case that the ones who are closest to us sometimes can be the ones who irritate us the most. It's that whole sand in the oyster thing, right? You know what that does, right? That little grain of sand is that which makes the pearl. And if for nothing else, we can be thankful for the sand and the grit in our kith and kin, who are refining us and shaping us and turning us, hard to believe maybe, but turning us into pearls. We can be thankful for our family and friends. And we should be thankful for them. And we should find ourselves in prayer before God's throne, thanking him for all that he's provided in Christ Jesus. It's perhaps possible that some of us don't come from families that would be considered anything but dysfunctional. And yet, guess what? We can still give thanks. Because our parents, maybe perhaps as difficult as possibly they were, they're the ones that gave us life. And our families is what God ordained to make us and shape us, or at least help to that end, to be the people that he wanted us to be. And so we can be thankful. Can be thankful then along the way for the families that God has granted us to be the progenitors of, for our children and grandchildren. For the spouses they marry, we can be thankful. Indeed, one of the greatest gifts beyond the ones that we emphasize properly, that is Christ, the church, God's word and scripture, what we might call common gifts as opposed to special gifts, is in the idea of family and friends. We, the body of Christ, only are what we are as we're united to Christ and also united to one another. And so Thanksgiving wouldn't be very Thanksgivingly, givingy, is that a word? It wouldn't be characteristic if we couldn't find in our hearts at least the ability to ask God to make us thankful. If we're not thankful, to make us thankful for our friends and for our family. Father, for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, grandchildren, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And so now we're going to just take a moment for the congregation to silently name before God the people that they're especially grateful for in their lives, pausing then for silent prayer. Christ's name, amen. We thank you, Father, for each one mentioned, for your work in their lives, and for the blessing they've been to us, and thank you for each one in this church. Help us to see in each other your provision and your love. Amen. So every year on Thanksgiving, we do what we're about to enter into next. It's our One Baptist moment, I like to tease. I call it the Baptist moment because when I attended Jane's dad's church, he was a Baptist minister. Every Sunday evening, they would have testimony time. And Sunday evening wasn't Sunday evening without testimony time. But here we do it with a specific idea in mind. We just ask people to stand and to articulate one or two things, and more if you please, that you're thankful to God for. A public testimony before God and his people of your thankfulness for God's goodness to you in the land of the living. If nobody has anything to say, that's fine. If everybody has something to say, that's fine too. So just pop up as you will and give thanks.
I'm thankful to the Lord for his providence. I grew up in a family where there was no one Christian, none, no grandparents on either side, no one. And I had two sisters, there was us three kids, my mom and dad. My dad was he loved us and he was a good provider, but they liked to drink and party. And so you can imagine the life us kids went down. But my sister, my youngest sister, she became a Christian sometime in high school. And then 10 years after that, she invited me to church, and I finally said yes. And And then that totally transformed my life. And then, you know, I can remember one time going over to my dad's house. I preached at him so hard he stood up and punched me. He had never done that before, ever. And but anyway, just wasn't too long after that, maybe a year or two, I can't remember exactly, but, you know, him and my mom and my other sister, they all found the Lord. The Lord called them. And so my mom and dad are in heaven now, and I have peace of mind. It's a glorious gift. So many people I know pray for loved ones. It seems like maybe they never came to the Lord even before passing away. And so, you know, God is sovereign. I don't know why he took such a messed up family as ours and got us all on the right path. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. God be praised.
Well, it's 8 years today. I'm very thankful that we made it 8 years.
8 years today? Today's your anniversary?
Yep.
Woohoo!
I could probably go on forever helping blind with her, but I will just say that I'm very thankful. I'm also thankful for the family that I've had, both my in-laws and my originals, my
The dysfunctional ones.
it's wonderful the fact that I don't know how to do half the things or know half the things I need to know. I just say, hey, Dad, what's this? Or, hey, Mom, what's that? Or, can I borrow your tool, please? So, very thankful for the support I have from my family.
Amen.
About it and being so grateful for it was that you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as a hardship, and I know people that did, and you can look at it and go, man, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to know where my next dime is coming from. But for me, it was a joy. And I'm not praising God for that attitude, because it didn't come from inside of me. And what I'm grateful mostly for is that as my kids were growing up, when we didn't have the abundance, although compared to others it was always abundant, they didn't take a bad attitude. They didn't grow up and, you know, look at money as the be-all, end-all. They went forward and they are raising their own families. And whatever trials we had, which were minimal, they were able to make profitable. And I, you know, our trials make us hard, not hard as far as insensitive, but hard so that we can stand up to the next trial, and they form us, like the scripture says, like purging us with, in fire, so that we come out as gold. And I'm very thankful that God brought our children forward, and they've gone through their own trials, and God is bringing them forth as gold. I also wanted to just praise God for this church. We went a lot of years, worked hard a lot of years. Praise God for all of the faithful ones who worked alongside us, and now with a new life, and they just, you know, came in and put their shoulders to the wheel, and it's been very encouraging for all of us, I'm sure. And praise God for that.
Amen.
God is good. And every day, God is good. Honestly, I was sitting here thinking, how can I stand up and stop talking at him? Praise God for friends, for a car that works, that hasn't broken down on me. for a job that I love, that I have 5 years on, that has taught me things, that appreciates me, that I honestly just look forward to going to work for. Praise God for trials and, you know, family that teaches things, even though it's the way that I might not want to be taught things. Praise God for the ability to learn, and for languages, and for math, and for music. Praise God for music. praise God for the spirit of Thanksgiving and the ability to recognize these things as blessings. Praise God for the gift of prayer, which is honestly something that I'm really starting to discover for the first time, what an amazing gift it is, and the gift of His Word.
Amen.
His revelation. Holy Spirit, and God's grace and forgiveness and sanctification. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Thankful for a job. A year ago, I started my employment where I'm at now. 1 year ago today. So thankful for that. A warm home.
Amen.
A wonderful church family.
Amen.
The new families He's brought this year.
Amen. COVID's never been so good.
It has truly been a blessing here. For that.
Amen.
On behalf of my family, we're thankful for this little church that even unfortunately charismatic background, but in comparison, God's Spirit has moved in this place. And I'm thankful that His Word is preached faithfully here every week, and that we've been walking with open arms. And just thankful for the simplicity that reflects God's simplicity.
Amen. Praise God.
So grateful for that.
Amen. Thank you. I like how wise and thankful. Thankful for God taking such a piece of wreckage such as myself and making it a trophy of grace for him. Thankful for all the ways along the path of these 60-odd years that he's done that. Thankful, Father. Thankful for this congregation. Thankful for the people that God has brought us here recently and the people that he's brought us here from long past. Thankful that the way that God has continued to provide for this humble assembly. Thankful for God's people and how they continue to challenge me and to make me a better minister and a better pastor. Not long ago, I read something I'd never come across before, and I think it was Spurgeon or somebody like that. I don't remember exactly who, but they were making the point that a pastor and a preacher can improve by the character and the quality of the congregation that he has. And I thought when I read that, I said, yeah, that's true. I'm a better preacher because of the congregation that I serve. And so I'm thankful for you. Thankful for God's continued providence. And I talked about Jane's folks and the eggs showing up, but I have my own stories of how that's happened over and over and over again through the years to seeing God's providence. So sometimes I perhaps come across as that guy on, that's an Eeyore. Remember Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? I come across as Eeyore, we're all going to die. Yeah. I don't like that necessarily about myself. I admitted that I have to work to not be that way, but I am thankful. And I'm not always like Eeyore. I am thankful and full of joy for all of God's goodness to his people. Let's turn to page 316. And let's stand as we sing Now Thank We All Our God. Keep your fingers there. Keep your fingers open there. I'll tell you a little story about this hymn. Got it from your mom. She posted it on social media. So here's this chap, Martin Winkert. You can see his name at the bottom of the page. He wrote the, I don't know if it's the music or the words, and maybe both. I always get that mixed up. What's that? He wrote the words, okay? So the context here is there was a pestilence that swept through where Winkert lived. Many of the ministers fled to get away. You could hardly blame him, right? But he decided to stay at his post and to do what he could to help a real pandemic. In that year, he did 4,500 funerals, including his own wife. He had children, and he wanted to provide them something for them to get their hands on, to understand God's goodness. And he wrote this in the context of something that we cannot even begin. So 4,500, that's an average of 10 a day, more than 10 a day, right? And listen, in the context of all that, including his wife's own death, listen to what this man says. "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms, he blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God," how does he talk like that? "God is bounteous, through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, who and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed." He was probably pretty perplexed. "And free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore." When I think of the context that these words were written in, it stuns me. Could I be this thing? Could I write these words in the context of our brother Martin? What a beautiful example of giving thanks in all things. May God grant us the grace to be able to do that if any such times are visited upon our lifetimes. Let's turn to page 385. "Holy God, we praise thy name." In the brown, thank you. May be seated. Considering 2 Corinthians Here we're expressing our gratitude for the chief gift that God has given us, that is God's best grace gift to sinners such as you and I, that is the gift of Christ. Paul can write here, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through the obedience of your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." His indescribable gift, of course, was the gift and is the gift of Jesus Christ. Everything here that Paul says about giving flows out of one simple fact, the great generosity of our God. If we are a giving people, it's a reflection of God's generosity to us. Just as we love God because God first loved us, so we give because God is first given to us. And God has given us the most wonderful, indescribable gift of all, his Son. Paul makes that argument in Romans chapter 8, where he says, if God freely gave us Christ, will he not also give us all things in Christ Jesus? It's the greater to less argument. If he's given you this, then he's going to take care of you all along the way, everything else. If he's done that much in Christ, which he has done for all of God's people, then he'll continue to provide. And as God continues to provide, we can continue to be what? Thankful. Thankful should be the humming sound in the background that goes on when our mind isn't engaged. Thankfulness should be characteristic. When we bleed it, when they put it under a microscope, it should be thanksgiving, what they're looking at. And I'm thankful for a thankful people. And the thankfulness, of course, is chiefly lodged in, again we say, in the fact that our whole identity is wrapped up in the fact of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, providing us forgiveness, taking away from us not only our sin and misery, but also the guilt that comes when it isn't taken away, so that we're no longer like the pagan trying to get rid of our guilt in some kind of twisted way, but whether that guilt's been taken care of, and so I am free by God's grace to become truly human in everything that it means. And so we're thankful to God for Jesus Christ. And because God has given us Jesus Christ, we can be confident that we'll remain thankful. Because if God has provided Christ, then God will provide everything else down the pike. Let us pray. For yourself, best gift divine to the world so freely given, agent of God's grand design, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Christ the Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord, we thank you for blessings in the world around us and for the richest of moments and experiences. We thank you for the blessings of people. These are all wonderful gifts, and we do thank you, Father. But we've reserved our most heartfelt gratitude for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for delivering us by Christ of our sin and misery. Thank you for delivering us from the guilt that twists all men without Christ. Words cannot fully express our thanks. We love you, O Lord. Amen. So let's stand for our final song, page 394 in our brown, "Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart." And now receive the benediction followed by the doxology. And now may the Creator and Redeemer, the three-in-one God, fill you with a sense of His presence. May He be pleased to open your eyes to understand, that your hearts may be full and overflowing at the greatness and the kindness of God, who has called us to be His ambassadors, and may He grant you grace to be always thankful. Amen. Now, little flock loved by God, go in peace.